Sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW, NXT, and indie wrestling too.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dynamite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Oh God, I can't wait. 6 fucking weeks from now, when the last episode of AEW All Access airs, and we go off the air with this. I'm only kidding. Hey. It's good to be a wrestling fan when Adam Cole can make a return after 9 months. It's good to be a wrestling fan when Bryan Danielson returns. And, change of attitude once again. I think you could thank CM Punk or maybe even Dave Meltzer for that one. You're probably asking yourself, DT, what are you talking about? Well, we'll talk about it in a few moments. I want to welcome everyone to Wednesday Night Dynamite. I am Don Tony. It is Wednesday, March 29th. If some of you out there think that I have a little extra kick in my step, we are within a few days of WrestleMania. My birthday was 48 hours ago. And not only that, we got a couple of announcements to make. Now, I understand that no matter what decision you make, what announcement you make is never going to get 100% approval. So I know some out there may not like it, may not appreciate it, but it was definitely necessary and overdue. In case you have been under a rock the last 2 weeks, especially if you check out other podcasts out there, yours truly and Kevin Castle did a reunion show. We actually even had another conversation last week on Patreon for a few minutes, just a casual conversation. But it was very, very interesting. Between Kevin and I, we've been doing this for 44 years. Yeah, sitting on our fat asses talking about wrestling. Yes, I get it. We've done a lot more than that. But the thing is that, you know, he and I go back about 18 years doing this stuff. And we had a falling out a couple of years ago. It's pretty out there. People want to try to mold the reasons into, you know, depending on what side they want to take. But deep down inside, I think we always wanted to do the shows again. And I tell you, what an eye-opening experience 2 weeks ago when we did that reunion show, Forbidden Door. It was going to be a one-shot deal. And what we noticed immediately, and me, I'm the instigator. There's no secret. If you go all these years, I'm more of the instigator. But even Kevin noticed that some of our even like good friends online that do shows never mentioned it. We don't need plugs. We don't need likes. But, you know, it's nice when people call you the OGs and they tell you, oh, you inspired us to do shows and all this other shit. And then we get together to do an episode and, oh, we can't let our viewers. This feels like 2005 again within your head and all those other schmucks out there that wouldn't dare tell their listeners or viewers that, oh, DTKC, ooh, no. Because they get this paranoia that if you tune into us, you'll never tune back into them again. I was very, very explicit and specific when I posted on Twitter yesterday that we are back to claim a part of the throne. We don't want to be number one. Number one comes with a lot of added pressure. But the thing is we want to take back part of the throne. I guarantee you by the end of 2023, the New York podcasting scene is going to kick the living shit out of everybody across the globe. And hey, that is just a home field pride over here, because we already know our fellow New Yorkers, JD, even though he is kind of relocated, and Jason Salamanca, they're kicking ass. And listen, there's others as well. But, we went from doing a reunion show to getting a little fire lit under our ass. And I'm happy to announce that the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle show is returning on a weekly basis. I think that's a little bit much right now, but it will be returning more than you realize. And we did a poll, and I promise you, we'll get into the NXT, Ring of Honor, AEW stuff in a moment, but I have to mention this. You know, we posted a poll on Twitter and we posted a poll on YouTube, and we left it up for 48 hours and we wanted everybody to vote. How did you want the WrestleMania weekend handled? And the three options were, I do it solo Saturday night and Sunday night, a recap each night, or I do one on Sunday night, which is everything combined, or you wait until Tuesday and you get yours truly and Kevin Castle doing a full-blown WrestleMania 39 recap. And what I did was I took the two polls and I combined them. And, the DTKC show won it out. So I want to let everybody know that as of 12 noon, Thursday, March 30th, if you go to DonTony.com, if you go to iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Apps, whatever, Amazon, wherever you access my content, 12 noon on Thursday, you will get the WrestleMania 39 match card predictions hosted by yours truly and Kevin Castle. We did it last night. 2 hours of spectacular conversation. We put it up for our Patreon family yesterday, and we also did that to see what the reaction was. And, you know, I know people are excited that there's a little bit of a resurgence of us, but, man, we killed it. We killed it from the Bobby Lashley stuff to the Trish Stratus. I'm telling you, what we predict with Trish Stratus and his rumored heel turn, it's going to happen. And you know me, I don't ever make, I'm confident in what I say, but we came up with scenarios last night that fit so well. Oh my God, it's going to be spectacular. So Thursday, tomorrow, because I'm doing this live right now on Wednesday night, 12 noon, it'll be available everywhere. Now, next Tuesday, what we're going to do is we're going to stream it live on Patreon at 10 o'clock next Tuesday night. But immediately after the live stream, it will be online for everybody. So by midnight Tuesday of next week, you are going to get your recap and review. And the beauty of it, Raw after WrestleMania would already be in the books. So Kevin and I will be talking next Tuesday about WrestleMania 39 in its entirety. We will also talk about the Raw after WrestleMania. That eliminates all of the what-ifs, because you're going to get showered with tons of what-ifs this weekend. Whatever happens on night one or night two, because everybody's doing it on Saturday and Sunday night, you're going to be left with, oh, I wonder what's going to happen on Raw. Oh, what if? So that already be in the book. So mark your calendars down. We're definitely coming back to claim part of our throne. We don't want to fuck any of our friends out there. We're not trying to. We just want to entertain everybody. Honestly, it's not even about haters anymore. That is so old Don Tony. I mean, I will even admit it. I used to thrive on pissing off the haters. Now, honestly, they get hit by a car, I could care less. Seriously, I could give a flying fuck about the haters. You want to publicly post shit about me? It just proves that after all of these years, I am still under your skin. I am that fucking little scab, or that little mark on your balls that you thought was maybe just like a genital wart, or maybe just a purple pimple, but it just turned into a scar. And every time, you know, you want to sleep with someone, you got to worry that nobody sees that little scar on your balls. No, I don't have any scars on my balls, but I am that scar that never goes away. So all the haters, lick it, seriously. All right, tonight we're going to do NXT. Stand and deliver predictions, 7 matches. And listen, the entire Roxanne Perez storyline leading into now, I can't take all credit for it. A lot of you out there nailed it as well. And that's what happens when you don't clickbait. The Gargano stuff. Me, a lot of you out there, we nailed it, because everybody else was out there trying to convince you that Shawn Michaels is going to make a return to the ring. Also, you could view them or listen to them. And then afterwards, you keep tuning in. So that's what happens when you put clickbait over logic. And Roxanne Perez last night, after we found out that Indy Hartwell got the last spot in the ladder match to determine the new NXT Women's Champion, Roxanne Perez comes back. No, Sean, no, I'm cleared. What happened to Dr. Vinny Boombatz? What happened to the fucking doctor? That goof. The doctor that didn't say, oh, we still don't know. Did she show up with the doctor's report? Did she show up with the doctor himself? What happened? Shawn Michaels doesn't make the phone call? I mean, I know he was looking straight and looking that way at the same time, but the whole storyline was Shawn Michaels mid-90s, and I'm not complaining. I just feel bad for the people out there that are totally gushing over Roxanne Perez. She's like a little Latino stuffed animal for some people online. Do you pay attention to social media? You ever see these whack jobs towards Alexa Bliss? I mean, it gets to beyond the weirdness level. There's a lot of that towards Roxanne Perez. And when she collapsed in the ring, you had to see people online. Fuck the emojis. People were legitimately shaking up. This is pro wrestling. This is sports entertainment. I guarantee you probably Roxanne Perez probably felt a little guilty with some of this storyline, but she's back. Miraculous. I wanted to turn heel. I want Roxanne Perez to turn heel. Oh my God, the reaction online. Seriously, I would fucking love it. I think it could happen. That would come out of nowhere. But look, before we do predictions, let's quickly talk about Dynamite tonight. I got to be honest with you, it was not a bad show. The two very important elements to come out of it was Adam Cole, you know, back in the ring. And let's also remember something. I'm not trying to talk down on anybody out there, but let's use a little logic. Adam Cole's been wrestling for the last several weeks leading into this. He is sparring. He's been in the ring. So, you know, tonight it's different. You're adrenaline. You're in front of millions across the globe, whether it's live or streaming during the week. So it's a much different environment than just in a school and sparring with some people. But it was good to see him back in the ring after 9 months. He's needed. The CM Punk situation over the last week, it just goes to show you have to accept with what AEW is. You have to accept it. The EVPs are not going to suddenly have the Shawn Michaels epiphany, where Shawn Michaels, you know, back in the 90s, is at ringside going, and then suddenly he found Jesus Christ and got married and born again and everything. Listen, I believe Shawn Michaels really saw the light and changed. But, it doesn't happen to everyone. These EVPs aren't going to suddenly have an epiphany. And like, no, we have to do what it, this is there. When you actually see All Access, the hype for that commercial tonight, you have the Young Bucks saying, we were never really into drama. We just like to do what we do in the ring. I want to literally crack something over my head right now. Who the fuck are you talking to? You think you're talking to vegetables? I'm a carrot, everyone. I'm a carrot. I'm mentally brain dead. I'm going to believe all that shit? Come on. You know, this is all to feed egos. It's about feeding egos. And it is what it is. If you can accept that, I honestly think you'll probably enjoy AEW even more, but it's not going to change. You could convince yourself. You see, the problem is there's a lot of wrestling fans out there that think that they can create the alternate ending to CM Punk's AEW career. This is not like a DVD with an alternate ending. Like, hey, if you click right and left 55 times and you go up and down 2 times, you know, you get this, you know, this hidden chapter and you click on it and CM Punk returns and he takes on Kenny Omega and you're everything that's wrong with pro wrestling and blah, 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 blah. The problem is that Kenny Omega, CM Punk is not going to go along with your alternate ending. And you see the shit that goes on. Listen, don't let your deceiving eyes or ears fool you. You know, if you hear it, if you smell it, if you taste it, if you see it, if you sense it, use your instinct. Don't go with the clickbait. Don't go with the cake and ice cream club. that, oh my God, you know, this would be epic. And then he could team up with FTR and go up against the Elite. And oh my God, that would be amazing and money and blah, 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 blah. You know, that's what the Cake and Ice Cream Club wants. You know, oh, sign this person, sign this person, sign this person, sign this person. It's okay if they're only on TV once every 3 weeks. It's okay if, oh my God, the House of Black won the trios titles. Now it's on the shelf for like 2, 3, 4 weeks until the Jericho Appreciation Society, because they don't have any other trios, because now the Young Bucks are hurt and Kenny Omega is forced to go singles. And now because CM Punk looks like there's no chance in hell whatsoever that he's returning to AEW, we need someone else to play off on that storyline. Kenny Omega, you're everything that's wrong with its business. That's what Bryan Danielson said tonight. I don't know if you heard it, but he is now batting for CM Punk. Number two, Bryan Danielson. That's what I believe happened tonight. Because Bryan Danielson, extremely fucking silent, while the Blackpool Combat Club was doing all the shit they were doing for the last 2 months, you know, just no confrontation, no explanation, no nothing. Just tonight, you know, he woke up on the rag. He was pissed off and he wants to take it out on Kenny Omega. You're everything that's wrong with this business. This is what I believe happened. CM Punk, it doesn't look like it's going to happen. All right, we'll have Bryan Danielson do it. Does it feel like that's the way it went? That's how I feel. We'll see. Listen, one thing is for certain. Kenny Omega versus Bryan Danielson will be off the charts. There's no question about it. Matches aren't going to suck. But make no mistake about it. You know, when you hear Bryan Danielson saying that, and then you think about what has happened over the last week or two, this is pretty much Bryan Danielson subbing for what they wanted to do with CM Punk. And look, you don't know what's going to happen with Kenny Omega and AEW in 2024. You know, as of right now, his contract, if they haven't extended it, you know, he's going to be a free agent towards November. And if you think, oh, that'll never happen, well, listen, go check out Moxley. He was on his wife's podcast a couple of days ago. And I'll briefly mention what he said about CM Punk. And I'm not even going to talk about the blood stuff and all this other shit. But, you know, he reminded everyone that he was a free agent for several months in AEW. You know, I mean, it is kind of a dumb remark when he said, you know, I wanted to, before I resigned, I wanted to see what it was like to work sober. You know, it's not even like funny. I have his book right there. It's been there since he entered rehab because I truly support the guy, you know, but you got to pay a little bit closer attention to some of the things he says. It sounds cool, but it makes no fucking sense. When he talked about what just happened with social media and CM Punk and Dave Meltzer and everything over the last week, what was his quote to Renee? He said something like, one moron drunk tweets and everybody runs with it. Mr. Moxley, are you insinuating that Dave Meltzer was drunk or CM Punk? Who was drunk? Who drunk tweeted with this? Nobody did. It just sounds cool, so everybody's like, it makes no sense whatsoever. No sense. All right, so let's briefly run down AEW. Jungle Boy over Matt Hardy. Very entertaining match. For some reason, Aubrey Edwards let Ethan Page stay at ringside, even though he repeatedly kept getting involved in the match. And during the match, Darby Allin, Sammy Guevara with Ty are in the back looking on the monitor. And after Jungle Boy gets the win, Hook's music hits during the match. And he comes out to negate Ethan Page. Now you know what's coming. We're going to get Ethan Page versus Hook. We know that. But I thought it was kind of stupid because didn't we just have a backstage segment with Jungle Boy a couple of weeks ago when he was asked, you know, what's your relationship with Hook? And Jungle Boy's like, listen, in 2023, I prefer to go. See, I even sound more like stern and masculine, you know, and Jungle Boy sounds too sweet. Even when he was going back and forth at MJF, He just sounds too soft. Like while he's in the promo with MJF, yeah, I remember what you said. And, you know, you told me that nice guys finish last. That's how I felt. That's how I felt. Like, you're putting me to sleep, dude. Seriously. You know, he's a great wrestler. I'm still very, very curious to see what he looks like when he shaves all that fucking hair off. It's going to be kind of, he's like the Jacob deGrom of pro wrestling. For our Mets fans out there, remember when Jacob deGrom, we saw him with short hair. But you remember when he shaved the locks and it was just like, so. Yeah, I know people are like, hey, this is like old school DT. I got to be honest with you, man. You know, the last 2 weeks were really eye-opening for me, especially for some people out there that, you know, I appreciate criticism and I don't mind it. But, you know, what a lot of people need to understand is, you know, there's quite a few of you out there who support numerous podcasters out there, and that's cool. That's awesome. I would never, ever, ever want anybody to not. That's why, partly why I trimmed down my shows, because it would be totally disrespectful for me to have any of you out there like tuning into 10 hours of programming a week. You know, we try to spread it out. But the funny thing is that still, even now, like 85 to 90% of my audience is audio only shows. And I had a few people, you know, from my YouTube family sending me emails pretty pissed off. They're like, Don Tony and Kevin Castle's not going to be on YouTube. Motherfucker, like 80% of you out there go either check out audio only or you tune into other people's live streams and then you check out my shit during a week. So, I mean, if we had like 2,000, 5,000 people in here tuning in, yeah, obviously I would have to do it a little bit differently. You know, but I mean, come on, we got to try to please everybody out there. How? But, you know, the last 2 weeks, I'm like, you know what? I don't give a fuck who I piss off anymore. You know, I don't give a shit if I'm just going to have fun. You know, there's no malice in my voice, you know, and I'm a big fan of Jungle Boys. It's just, you know, there's little things about him that still need quite a bit of improvement. I thought he had a lot of progression with Christian Cage. One thing we have noticed that Jungle Boy is at his finest when you go deep down low and dirty. See, like when MJF talked about Anna Jay earlier, what did he say to him? That, oh, your girlfriend Anna Jay said that you're soft around the midsection, something like that, and he wails on MJF. So you got to talk about his girlfriend, you got to talk about his family. We won't name individual people, but that's how you really get pissed. Jungle Boy pissed. Jungle Boy, a successful Jungle Boy, is a pissed off Jungle Boy. So, but look, you know, Hook coming out there, I'm confused. Seriously, you remember the backstage segment? You know, in 2023, I'm going to be a singles champion, and I'm done with tag team partners, and I don't want any, you know, blah, 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 and Hook comes and makes the save. And you know that this is strictly because we're going to get Hook versus Ethan Page, and it's probably going to happen next week because they're in New York next week. Hook is from Red Hook, so it's pretty obvious. But Jungle Boy wins. Soon as his music hits, MJF's music interrupts it. He comes out there. Tony Schiavone said that MJF is a boil on the ass of pro wrestling. MJF is pissed off because of something that Jungle Boy said in the last week's promo, that MJF has it easy. And MJF says his job is a joke. He hardly wrestles. He gets to belittle the fans. He gets a giant paycheck. And then he goes home to the greatest, you know, place on earth, Long Island. You know, and yeah, that gets under fan skin until you actually realize, yeah, he really doesn't wrestle that much. I mean, it's kind of like reminiscent. I mean, look, he appears more than Brock Lesnar does, but, you know, MJF doesn't wrestle all that much. He's not in his 50s. He's not 500 pounds. He doesn't have like one leg. You know, like should he be a special attraction, you know, this much? You know, good for him, man. This is what he negotiated in his deal. I mean, anybody that gets upset, like MJF hardly wrestles, well, don't blame him. Blame Tony Khan. You know, oh, we can't. You know, Tony Khan, he might be a little bit like Herb Abrams, but he comes off as a nice guy. He's just a loving wrestling fan. He just doesn't know that there's a lot of sharks in the water. Oh, fuck that. Guy's fucking 40 years old, been around the message boards, thinks he knows it all, thinks this, thinks that. I saw today, I don't know, it was the LA Times, they put Todd Martin. And that name might strike a chord with some people. And don't ask me, like, I don't have the article in front of me, but Todd Martin writes an article that AEW is showing that they are worthy number two competitor for WWE. I swear to God, I wanted to drink rubbing alcohol after I saw this. I wanted to flush my eyes out with rubbing alcohol. I read the article, and I spent 10 minutes reading it, and it looked like some child that wrote a book report. There was nothing in it. And the best part about it was when they talked about WWE, they said, oh, WWE has had its first year of improved ratings in several years and blah, 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 blah. And then said that CM Punk's like disrespectful behavior for WWE. Oh, fuck you. As soon as you go that route, no mention of the decline in numbers and this and that. It was just like seriously, you know, I don't know, you know, if Tony Khan likes his M&Ms with plain or peanut, but all I know is that he got a nice hand job out of it, and he retweeted it. That's why I saw it. I read the article, and I was like, this feels like a child that wrote a book report for school, you know? So I'm sick and tired of the Tony Khan sympathy and stuff like that. You know, I was thinking maybe I should do a little fluff piece. I want to know what it feels like to get an emotional hand job. I want to feel that emotional hand job from somebody from maybe QT or TK or that's, you know, maybe a like or a retweet. I want to see if I feel like I'm walking on clouds. I want to feel like if I see daisies in front of my eyes, if I see little puppy dogs walking around in all my house, little Easter bunnies flapping around. Do I see like little like angels with harps? Do I get that warm feeling inside? Do I get a mindgasm? Like, how do I feel from doing like a bullshit fluff piece like that and you get that kind of reaction? I don't know what it feels like. I don't know, you know? But anyway, so MJF, basically, they go on for 10 minutes. Hey, Jungle Boy, nice guys finish last. Oh, yeah, that's what you told me 3 years ago. MJF says, hey, 3 years ago, I thought I was facing my equal until I realized nice guys finish last and blah, 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 blah. And at the end of the day, I'm the AEW world champion. You're just Jungle Boy. And by the way, Anna Jay says you're a little bit small in that area. You got one of those little miniature yellow bananas. You know, Jungle Boy, you know, the jungle bananas, little tiny little banana. So he gets pissed off. And MJF saying, hey, you aligned yourself with some winners over there. Marco Stunted Growth, Dino Douche, and Christian Cage. And by the way, yeah. Kevin and I, for the WrestleMania predictions, we talked some interesting stuff about Christian Cage. It's amazing that no one out there does the legwork to try to get some answers. And I see people asking the legitimate news sources out there, and they just ignore them. You know, they'll put up whatever they want to put up, but when the people ask specifically, they'll just ignore them. As long as I don't acknowledge it, then it doesn't seem like I'm not doing my job, you know? So anyway, MJF said, hey, this could have been the Jack Perry show, but it's the MJF show, and that's what that is. So, all right, yeah, I need a hand. Mo Wertz, I said, I need a hand. No, I need the invisible hand. Did you see tonight? Now Moxley is doing the Hannibal. You know that whack job from Canada, Hannibal? The one that I called out many, many years ago until I realized that he was a psycho motherfucker. Now I think he's the most charming, beautiful person in the world. And I just say that so he doesn't kick my ass. Maybe one day if we're in a supermarket and he happens to be in my neck of the woods. But is Moxley now doing a Hannibal gimmick that he's going to make other people bleed? You know, like Moxley don't bleed anymore for the last 3 weeks. He's given up blood for Lent. John Moxley, breaking news, everyone. John Moxley has given up blood for Lent. Now he's doing the Hannibal gimmick because he punches Don Callis in the face earlier today. And this is the only screenshot that I got tonight other than the hug at the very end, the hug, the kiss. You know, the ending of All Access 6 weeks from now. He fucking bled. Don Callis bladed beautifully. You know what I got to give Moxley credit for? When Moxley punched Callis in the face, seriously, I'm not stupid enough to do it here. I ain't breaking these glasses because then I can't see shit. And trust me, this show will turn into a major disaster in a matter of seconds. He swiped. He like swiped his glasses away from his face, and then he punched him in the face. You know, because God forbid you accidentally connect. You know, you might have a serious issue over there. I know that most lenses don't shatter and this, this, and that, but hey, you know, this ain't like, I don't think these glasses are advertised by those fucking freaks on those infomercials that, hey, you know, like one of those army flashlights, like, hey, this gigantic fucking 85-ton bus ran it over, and look, it still works. So I like when Moxley smacked his glasses away and then punched him in the face, which was pretty cool. But listen, guys, you see what's happening with Kenny Omega, and I'm not ripping it, but be aware of it. If you don't think that Kenny Omega is not only feeding his ego, but Tony Khan is fucking fanning the ego. Oh, look, he's like this with the ego. I'm sorry, this is the only thing that I had handy, the Samoa Joe TNA. It still talks, but I mean, Tony Khan is fucking fanning that ego. Everything with Kenny Omega's got to have drama up to it. Trios titles, Chicago Bulls. Have we heard the show? Tony Khan paid for the NBA at night or an NBA on NBC. He paid to buy that song just for Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks for the best of seven against the Lucha Bros and Pac. Remember? It was a LeBron performance. And then they went, oh my God, it's like a game seven. And Kenny Omega wins. Last week, Kenny Omega is taking on El Hijo del Vikingo, and it can't just be a match. No, the Young Bucks have to be carried out in an ambulance. And Kenny Omega, he's worried about his friends. I can't think straight. I don't know what to do. Blah, 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 blah. I don't know what to do. It adds drama. Well, Kenny Omega's not in his right mind. Maybe, you know, he could possibly lose. Motherfucker's undefeated on Dynamite in singles competition. He's like 15-0 in his career. So he has his match. He wins last week. People giving it 9 stars. And then this week, you know, Don Callis gets bloodied up. And Kenny Omega's in the back. He's like this. I gotta straighten myself out. Every single week, there is some element of drama associated with Kenny Omega. And now Brian Danielson returns and attacks him. You're everything that's wrong with pro wrestling. Really? Why? Why? Based on what? Based on what? You know, if you want to slap Dave Meltzer in the face, and look, I love Dave Meltzer. I subscribe to his newsletter. I'll always be very appreciative of his generosity for some of the things that I did in the past for worthy causes. You know, but, you know, this is all about feeding Kenny Omega. And when I actually posted on Sunday that Kenny Omega will probably face MJF, you know, by the summer or the early fall. I wasn't kidding. This is the Kenny Omega show, even though he may be part of hour one or the beginning of hour two sometimes. Pay attention. Every time Kenny Omega's on Dynamite right now, 9 times out of 10, there's some element of drama attached to it. So, all right. So, Kenny Omega, because he's shooken up what happened to Don Callis, he shakes it off. He beats Jeff Cobb. Blackpool Combat Club show up. They start attacking Kenny Omega. Brian Danielson's music hits. Brian Danielson enters the ring, tells the Blackpool Combat Club to back off. Everybody thinks that Kenny Omega is going to align with Brian Danielson. Brian Danielson helps him up, goes to shake his hand. And then Wheeler Yuta climbs the apron. Kenny Omega runs to knock him off, and then Brian Anderson sets up in the corner, hits him with the knee, the psycho knee, and starts wailing on Kenny Omega. And Brian Anderson, shades of winter of last year, fall of last year, loved it, loved it. Brian Anderson, he's heel, he's face, he's heel, he's this, he's that. You know, he does it great, man. He does it great, but, you know, when he used those words, you're everything that's wrong with this business, that told me today, okay. Since everything fell apart again with CM Punk, and it's pretty obvious that the people who matter don't want that guy back, he ain't coming back, that now we'll do that storyline with Brian Danielson, and we got to do it soon. Because November will be here before you know it. And there's no guarantee that Kenny Omega is going to remain in AEW. I think he does. I think, listen, when you're a billionaire, you know, like I said, pretend some of the AEW roster is an eBay auction. Seriously, I'm not even joking about it. Tony Khan is somebody on eBay that sees, oh my God, one of one, Kenny Omega. And oh my God, and you look, and there's a bidding war going on, and you look in the bids. Now, you can't see our names anymore. In old days with eBay, back in the early 2000s, you'd be able to see the ID. And let me tell you something. When I used to bid, you know, like if a high bid was like $9 and I thought it would sell for maybe $20, right like 5 seconds before the auction closes, I would put a bid in for like $20.06 or $20.02. And I would win auctions sometimes. And after the auction was over, you click on the bid history and you could see what the last bid was before yours. And I would win something for like $20.02 and somebody bid $20 or $20.01. And I swear on my mother, I would get messages sometimes, you cocksucker, you motherfucker, I'm going to get your information, you cocksucker. I'm like, what did I do wrong? But it was kind of funny. So just imagine Tony Khan on eBay in November and up for sale, Kenny Omega. And he looks at the bid history and he sees Nick Khan. Khan won. Nick Khan won. Or Nick Khan 316 says, I just outbid your ass. I guarantee you, Tony Khan. What do you want, Kenny? Come on. You know, I've been fanning your ego all year. Look, I'm giving you, I'm telling you guys, I have nothing against it, but I'm starting to hate North Carolina. Every time I hear that, I'm like, I will never go to North Carolina. So, Brian Danielson is back on the dark side. And I think it's all because of the CM Punk shit. Now, big news. Big news. Remember last week's show, we talked about FTR, and we said, pay very close. This was the corner of my points last week. Pay very close attention when they announced the match. Do you remember last week, it was the first 10 minutes of the show that I did. I said, did anybody take notice? They never mentioned that the match was happening at Double or Nothing. Double or Nothing is in what, May? Their contracts are up in April, and I said, if you want to get an idea or where it may lean one way or the other, we got to see when this match goes down. And literally a couple of days later, the match was announced, and guess what, folks? That match, where's my banner? Here's my banner. No, that's not my banner. Where the fuck is it? Oh, here it is. Yeah. Next week, everyone. Titles versus careers. Next week. FTR versus the Guns. If FTR wins, they are the tag champs. If the Guns win, FTR is done with AEW. I'm not giving predictions because I could picture FTR staying. I really do. Especially when Dak says that whatever the decision is, it's about family, not necessarily, you know, contract. I'm like, you idiot. You idiot. You know, like, if I have little kids and I'm looking at them, and then when they turn 18 years old, and they're like, you know, Dad, I want to go to college. And I look at my bank account, and my bank account is not really that great. And then, you know, like, my son or my daughter is old enough to say, Dad, how come in fucking 2023 you didn't sign with WWE? They offered you all this extra money and you're still with AEW because it's more about family. Fuck that. I can't go to college now because of it. So, no, it should be about family and money. And money. So, but I do think FTR will stay with AEW. I'd be really surprised, man. I'd be really surprised. Even if they stay for another year. Like I said before, we talked about this last week. I don't want to repeat it. If you didn't tune into last week's show, that's your loss. But I'll say this. You know, FTR, you know, if WWE wants them, if FTR says, listen, we're going to stay in AEW for 3 more months. You know, we're going to sign a 6-month extension and just go through the summer. And then if I was WWE, I'd be like, don't call us 6 months from now. You want to do... discuss a deal, we do it now. We ain't fucking waiting. Seriously, why would we? I know that sounds awfully cold, but you know, well, if it wasn't cold, then why wouldn't FDR just, you know, work out a short-term deal? And, you know, that, and why wait to this point? Or even Moxley. You know, I worked for a couple of months without a contract. You know, before I signed, I wanted to make sure I was having fun and what it was like being sober and working for AEW. Even though it is funny that Moxley admitted on the podcast more bullshit and drama now than he's ever had in his career. You know, he sees around them. Even though he says the majority of people in AEW are not that way. But, yeah, it is what it is. So, anyway, so FTR and the Guns are taking place next week, and the Guns cut a great promo tonight. I really appreciated their promo, and they basically said, look, we respected FTR until we met them. And there was only one person that we ever respected, and that was our father, and they spit on the floor. And by the way, now the saga is the Jericho Appreciation Society is trying to recruit the Acclaimed. And you had 2.0 wine and dine them, the Acclaimed, and Billy Gunn last week, took them to like a hockey game, took them to an amusement park, ate, you know, did everything. And next week, the Acclaimed will make their decision if they're going to join the Jericho Appreciation Society. Duh, they're not. But that's where they're going with this right now. And that's all fine and everything. But right now, the Acclaimed are basically, you know, the rap version of Ricky Starks, because that's exactly what happened with Ricky Starks. Ricky Starks gets one title opportunity, and then here comes the Jericho Appreciation Society, and nobody is like, why are we not getting more Ricky Starks versus MJF? That should be the feud going into the summertime. Why isn't Ricky Starks considered one? Blah, 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 blah. So now it's with the Acclaimed. The Acclaimed get the bullshit loss against the Guns. Why are the Acclaimed? Blah, 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 blah. So now Jericho Appreciation Society. So it's like they're the diversion. All right. Orange Cassidy retains the international championship over the Butcher. Blade tries to interfere with a crowbar. Best friends show up. Doesn't matter. Beach break for the win. Jade Cargill cuts a promo on Taya Valkyrie. I almost said Valkyria because of NXT. And Jade Cargill, now they got a legal processor. And if Taya uses the Jaded on Rampage, then the legal processor is going to send the legal cease and desist. Oh, God. All his legal storylines with Mark Sterling. I would love for AEW to do a best of, you know, of all of them. I would want to watch a montage. I would want to do it stoned. I don't smoke weed, but I think that would probably be a fun thing to watch stoned. Like all of this stuff, you know, oh my God, we got this survey and we need one more signature and, you know, Orange Cassidy or Hook is gone or whatever. Danhausen is gone from AEW. Oh God, all these legal things. Jay Cargill, this is what they have her. What happened to the baddie stuff? Now it's truly baddie. It's truly bad. So, and then we find out that Taya is going to take on Marina Shafir. You know, the girl we don't know. Juice Robinson versus Action Andretti on Rampage as well. Sammy Guevara versus Takeshka. And Brody King and Malachi Black versus the Best Friends. So that is for Rampage. Not a bad Rampage if you look at it. And then next week on Dynamite, we have Juice Robinson versus Ricky Starks. Jamie Hayter versus Riho. Blackpool Combat Club will explain their actions. I'm telling you, when you watch that next week, you're going to think CM Punk during the whole thing. FTR versus the Guns is going to be MJF Day. We had Ruby Soho beating Willow Nightingale. A lot of interference from Toni Storm and Saraya. After the match is over, they don't go for the spray paint. Ruby goes for a chair. And I'm telling you, man, they're missing a funny opportunity. Every time Riho runs down to the ring to make the save, she should come out with like a different weapon. It should be like a really low-budget Mortal Kombat video game. Like she just when she runs down, I just like imagine like if I was an abuser and I was like beating up my wife, and like if I had like preteen kids like running down the street trying to save mommy, like why would I like run out of the ring and run across the street, like run down the block? You know, if I was beating up the mailman and like preteens from coming out of school, like, hey, he's beating up the mailman, and they run down the street. My size. I'd be like, yeah, bring it, motherfuckers. They run out of the ring. Like, I mean, and I know Riho is a talented wrestler. I mean, I used to have debates with former co-hosts talking about Riho. I used to like her early on. But now when she runs down the ring, like, I'm almost afraid she's so small that she's going to have a Sid Vicious incident when she runs down the ring. So she slips on something or twists her ankle. I think it's going to crack in half like a wishbone. She's so freaking small. Like, you see these women running out of Dodge. Go down there with a weapon. 1 week with a kendo stick. 1 week with a pipe. 1 week with a crowbar. 1 week with a baseball bat. 1 week with whatever. You know, like, run down the ring with a tree branch. When something, a rose bush. You ever get pricked with a rose bush? I'd run down the ring with a rose bush. Shit, when I had my, that hardcore match that I was involved in, we wanted to buy a rose bush. I wanted to get powerbombed onto a rose bush because I think that would have been pretty epic. And we couldn't find one. We unfortunately, it was raining that day. And I remember Jay Lover, we called the florist. They were like, hey, you got a rose bush? No, we got roses. And we're like, how many roses would we have to buy to like even make it look good in the ring? We're like, no, we didn't have any pussy to like give the roses to after the match. You know, you buy that many roses, you know, maybe after the match you go up to your significant other and say, look what I bought you. Until they watch the DVD, like, you motherfucker, you didn't buy that for me. You bought it so you could cut yourself open, dummy. But Ruby beats Willow. This time, because Willow obviously is not running down the ring to make the save, somebody's got to come down there with Riho. This time it's Sky Blue. And Derrico says, very hyped up to see that Kevin and I are back in the building. Yeah, it's about time. It's about time. You know, a little more matured, but I just have this I don't give a fuck attitude anymore. Last 2 weeks were really eye-opening, like I said. You know, the lack of, attention by some people was just like, wow. You know, like, it was eye-opening. But we'll have fun. Like, the bottom line is we'll have fun. So anyway, Riho makes the save. Then they go after Riho, and Jamie Hayter runs down to the ring because Jamie Hayter's facing her next week for the championship. And Jamie Hayter makes the save for Riho. And then there was a moment that, look, I'm a huge fan of Jamie Hayter, and I don't mind her playing the babyface here because it's the AEW Originals versus the Outcasts. That's pretty much the storyline, and that's cool. But when she makes the save for Riho, and Riho shakes her hand and says, thank you, Riho immediately went like this with the championship. And honestly, you having a match next week, if I was Jamie Hayter, even storyline, I would have at least, like, maybe, like, held Rio's hand and not let it go, or have a little bit of an attitude, or, you know, like, give a gesture, like, all right, you watch what happens next week. You know, it just too gushy-gushy, you know, like, she's fighting for the champion. But yet, like, next week, Jamie Hayter will have no problem decking Riho in the mouth, you know, so. All right. As we said, the main event, we opened up with it. Adam Cole beating Daniel Garcia. Great to see Adam Cole back in the ring. About a 15-minute match. Obviously, the ending was designed for the finale of AEW All Access, if you don't see that a mile away. The match was great. I loved the story that it played. Daniel Garcia doing a lot. This reminded me of Daniel Garcia versus Bryan Danielson. Because you remember Bryan Danielson with the concussions, you know, in the past. And Daniel Garcia doing moves, and Bryan Danielson selling them like he might have a head injury or a neck injury or something. This kind of repeated that, but it worked. And when he hit the pile driver on Adam Cole, you know, you gasp for a minute. I mean, obviously it didn't really connect. This isn't Steve Austin, Owen Hart. But then outside the ring, you know, Adam Cole is selling this stuff like $1 million. And some people online are like, gee, he looks a little off. You know, he's crisp, but, you know, I wonder if, you know, he's not fully back yet. And that probably is the case. You know, you don't feel that adrenaline until you're actually in that ring doing that. But the match was great. What I liked about it, no Jericho Appreciation Society at ringside. Jericho shows up after the match. barely, I wouldn't even say looks at Adam Cole, but it was kind of funny. Look, I, even though Jericho has been a scumbag to CM Punk and doesn't like CM Punk at all, even though he may, you know, I think sometimes he makes some compliments online, and I think it's almost just to piss off CM Punk even more. But I still am a huge fan of Jericho, and I laughed earlier because Jericho, if you picture Adam Cole, you're Adam Cole, and Jericho has his back facing Adam Cole, and the streamers come down. Jericho helps Daniel Garcia outside the ring, and then Jericho, he like turns around to confront Adam Cole, but doesn't. But it was funny because he didn't even look at him. Like, if I'm Jericho, obviously I'm not, and you're Adam Cole, he didn't turn around and look at you with a, like a pissed off look on your face or disappointment, whatever reaction. He would do something like this. Like, he wouldn't like look at him. So I thought that was pretty funny. But I wonder if anybody thought that Jericho was going to turn on Daniel Garcia as they went up the rampway. Because when you had that pause, you know, like Jericho was just like in deep thought. And I said to myself, you know, I wouldn't put it past AEW because sometimes they have turns happen for no apparent reason. I thought that maybe Jericho was going to lay out Daniel Garcia. That's what I thought. But it was a decent Dynamite. It's not an episode I'm going to remember other than the return of Adam Cole and Bryan Danielson returning, filling the role for CM Punk. That's pretty much what I'm going to remember from tonight. You know, the MJF Four Pillars storyline is great until you realize that it's going to eat up probably 6 weeks, you know, and 6 weeks from now we're going to realize, you know, that three of those four guys are probably going to be back in the same position they were in before. And then you feel like, okay, who does MJF feud with next? And I think that's where you may get Kenny Omega. And then we see where it goes from here. But, all right, before we get into some other things, I got one super shout out right now. One has to do with NXT, and I'll definitely bring it up with NXT in a moment. But shout out to Jay Paulin. He is really looking forward to the WrestleMania recaps. Well, there's only going to be one, and it's going to be next Tuesday night. It'll be released on DonTony.com and every platform out there except for YouTube. And by the way, let me reiterate that they will not be on YouTube because YouTube has a big problem with music. And not only, I know we have only done one old intro right now, but that's because I'm kind of not lazy. But this, like, came out of nowhere. We haven't been able to make up new intros, but we're probably going to keep sick of it all and use that music and put in some new intros. But, you know, like, few people like, don't do intros. We're not doing that. We're not doing that. Like I said, when 90% of people out there access audio only or watch other people's live streams and then check my shit out later on, you know, there's no reason why it's got to be one way or the other. We're not going to take away from the content. That's why I don't have the history shows on YouTube. I would love to put them on YouTube. But the minute that audio fucking goes on YouTube with all the clips of yesterday, I was listening to, you know, like a Nitro match from this week's episode where Lex Luger got like dip and guacamole all over him. And I think he got thrown in a pool and it was a match with Sting. It's so ridiculously bad. But when you listen to it, you're entertained as fuck. And I'm like, that shit goes on YouTube. I ain't risking losing my account. What? For $3.73 revenue? You know what I mean? Like, why ruin the channel? You know, no, can't do it. So, but thank you for that, Jay Paul. And I'm definitely looking forward to the recaps. Definitely check out the preview tomorrow. I promise you, the shit that we got into, even with the rumors, you know, the person that Kev chose that is going to face Bobby Lashley, when you hear it, you're going to be like, oh, wow, I didn't even fucking think of that, and it's probably going to happen. But Christian Cage is going to be interesting. I got this feeling that he might return, but we'll see. We'll see. Yes, Sam, another week gone by. You know, we got to do like an audio warning. Because I know that there's like a, like people put like these audio warning alerts, like, you know, like headphone alert or something. I probably have to do that on these shows, whether it's video, audio, or combination thereof, because I can only imagine somebody who's like half asleep and they're just like tuning into me while they're dozing off, and all of a sudden they hear, Didi-dima! Didi-dima! Miro is the smartest man in pro wrestling. I'm telling you, man. And I'm not even saying that to be nasty. He is so fucking smart. That guy is banking so much cash right now. Seriously, I wouldn't be surprised if he like just like lights up a cigar, or I don't know if they smoke Babanya. I don't know if you would get sick if you rolled a joint with a $100 bill. But seriously, you know, if they had like a massive falling out, you know, too bad marijuana is still not like truly like accepted. Because I'd love to see him on social media, like take a Tony Khan check. You know, Andy Kaufman probably would have done it because he used to get those wrestling checks and never cash it, but he didn't have a falling out. I'd love him to show us a Tony Khan check and just roll a joint with it and smoke it. So he's getting so much money, man. All right. What else do we want? Oh, this is pretty cool. As much as we criticize Tony Khan at times, you got to give him props where props is due. And listen, I'm not even going to try to take credit for this, because I know you, me, and a whole boatload of other people out there said the same thing after Jay Briscoe tragically passed. Retire those tag titles. Retire the belts. It's in my synopsis on 2-3 episodes. A lot of people said it. And we found out that they are. They are. Ring of Honor is having a pay-per-view this weekend. I'll give you the lineup in a moment. And it was announced that the Ring of Honor Tag Team Championships, the current design, will be retired in tribute to Jay Briscoe and the Briscoes. They're going to debut a new design with the tag team titles. And I think that's pretty cool. I think that is pretty cool. I mean, you know, it's still incredible. It's not just the loss. It's the fact that, you know, a lot of people still don't know exactly what happened. And, you know, those who have really, like, looked around and done some research, you pretty much have connected the dots. But out of respect to both families, unless it's made public by the families or by the police, it's a tragic accident. But by now, people realize, you know, that there was nothing involving like narcotics or alcohol or anything like that. Nothing, no signs of text messaging or anything like that. It was just a tragic accident. And I am very, very appreciative that Tony Khan is retiring that design in tribute to Jay Briscoe and the Briscoes. That is a very cool move. And you got to give him props for that. So, before we do NXT Stand and Deliver predictions, let me just give you the matches for Ring of Honor. 7 matches, $39.99. You know, it's pretty steep price for Ring of Honor standards, but hey, this card looks pretty solid, so you decide if you want to order it or not. But the matches, Claudio is going to defend the Ring of Honor World Championship against Eddie Kingston. I think Claudio is going to keep that title. For the TV title, Samoa Joe versus Mark Briscoe. And I tell you, there's a lot of people out there that want to see Mark Briscoe become Ring of Honor World Champion because of what happened. And I know that would be like a really strong emotional moment. But, you know, look, I don't want to compare it to WWE, but did you ever think that Chavito should have gotten a champion, any championship at that time in tribute to Eddie? Like for Los Guerreros, you know, you think about Los Guerreros. We lie, we cheat, we steal, you know. I don't think it crossed anybody's minds. I think it would be an interesting storyline, and it could happen. But if he wins that TV title, I don't see him going for the world title. I get this weird vibe that Samoa Joe is going to retain. But if Mark Briscoe wins, I hope Samoa Joe breaks character and shows a little bit of love towards Mark Briscoe, like Jay Lethal did. So speaking of the Briscoes, they're going to crown new tag team champions. because not only are the titles being retired, that design, but Mark Briscoe is relinquishing his. He's not getting another partner, not anytime soon. So they're doing a Jay Briscoe Memorial Reach for the Sky ladder match. And the participants, one of these teams will become Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions. The participants are the Lucha Brothers, Aussie Open, which is Kyle Fletcher and Mark Davis, La Facción in this person spelled this wrong. Oh, man, did this person butcher it. Oh, God. I'll just say Rush and Realistico. The Kingdom of Matt Taven and Mike Bennett, and Top Flight, Darius Martin and Dante Martin. Yeah, I tell you, I think everybody and their mother probably thinks the Lucha Bros are going to win this. I don't think Aussie Open is getting it. Rush and Realistico, I don't see it either. And I certainly don't see the Kingdom. I think it's going to come down to either Top Flight or the Lucha Bros. And I'm not sure. The Lucha Bros is Ring of Honor tag champs. I almost feel like Top Flight is in the position to get it. And as young guns for the future of Ring of Honor, I'm going to go with Top Flight. And I guarantee you probably almost nobody is picking them. And I'm probably going to be wrong. For the Pure Championship, Willie Yuta defends against Kosiori Shibata. I'm going to go with Willie Yuta to retain. For the six-man tag titles, the Embassy versus AR Fox, Blake Christian and Grand Metalik. I'm going with the Embassy of Brian Cage, Khan, and Toa to retain. For the Ring of Honor Women's Championship, Athena defending against Emi Sakura. I'm going to go with Athena to retain. And for the AAA Mega Championship, El Hijo del Vikingo versus Commander. I don't think there's any chance in hell right now that Vikingo is getting a loss on American soil. I know he lost to Kenny Omega from North Carolina, but no, he ain't losing to Commander from Mexico. I used to love watching AAA when I was a kid. Seriously, if you got to go check out old Rey Mysterio from like 1992, 1993. I'm sure there's YouTube videos when you see the big Corona logo and the air horns and you listen to the announcers and like, buka, 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 buta, buta. It almost sounds like they're saying puto. I could have sworn when I was young, I used to say puta, puta, puta. Miss those days, man. But Vikingo, man, WWE would be stupid not to sign him. Seriously. Because Rey Mysterio, he's not retiring yet, but he doesn't have that many years left. And Vikingo might fill that void. Scripps certainly ain't doing it. And I don't know if Dragon Lee is going to do it either. I get the same vibes of Dragon Lee like I did with Kushida and others. And I enjoyed them, but I never ever thought that WWE was going to be able to expand them to be household names. So, Iman says Rey Mysterio got the title for Eddie. I know, but they're not related. They're not related. That's the whole point as far as like the, you know, related. The Briscoes, you know, Rey and, Eddie and Chavito. That's why I went there with that. Okay. Let's quickly get into some bullshit with AEW drama. And then we'll do Stand and Deliver predictions. I think Tony Khan, if it's what happened to these seven agents that are supposed to be like the representatives for the locker room, somebody needs to have a serious talk. And we need to hear about it as far as news reporting goes. Because I think Britt Baker is a good example that you may think for the next 6 weeks, everybody's going to be talking about All Access. You know, trust me, I remember TNA Reaction. And I think this is going to be better than TNA Reaction. I truly believe that there's going to be a lot of people that are going to really love AEW All Access. I think it's going to be, it's not going to be a ratings hit, but I think the people who do watch it overall are going to enjoy it. But I think, you know, just because, you know, CM Punk had no issues, like Britt Baker and CM Punk never had a skirmish or anything like that. Like, doesn't mean that you know, just because other people are assholes, doesn't mean you have to be one too. She could learn something from Cody Rhodes. Sometimes you take the high, you know, you take the high road. And for those that don't know what I'm talking about, last week we talked about the fiasco with Dave Meltzer and CM Punk. CM Punk calling him out for being a liar. And remember when I said earlier that the media is not changing. The foundation of AEW is not changing. The attitude of the EVPs are not changing. The egos, you know, when people say that they don't have an ego or they're not into drama, that's when they're usually the biggest drama queens. It's the people online that are just over the top against certain things, and then you realize they're the biggest abusers of them all. You know, I think you kind of realize, like, when people have to convince you that they're not something, they usually are. But, you know, Dave Meltzer, we got to talk about Meltzer for a second. We got to talk about Moxley for a second. And then we got to talk about Britt Baker. Because Britt Baker, in my honest opinion, really, really fucked up in the latest interview that she did. She's going to get a lot of criticism online, more than she realizes. And I'm going to throw a little statistical point out there that a lot of people are going to be surprised about. I'll get into that in a minute. But anyway, long story short, you know, Dave Meltzer is a reporter. And if you ever watched a White House briefing in the United States, whether Trump was president or Biden is president, anybody, Obama was president, if you look at the press conferences, you have a lot of reporters who ask dick questions. They ask asshole questions. They will push the envelope and they will call out things. And you watch it, and if they're against your favorite president, and you hear these reporters, you're like, man, that guy, that motherfucker should get punched in the mouth. You know, that one guy from CNN, I can't remember his name, when they would never call on him when Trump was president. I can't remember his name. Maybe someone in the chat room could bail me out. The guy with the beautiful hair, you know, he thought he was a model. And he would get all dramatic when he's not asked questions. You all know what I'm talking about. But, you know, these reporters, when you're a reporter, you have to ask the hard-nosed questions. And you have to do research. You have to verify things. Yes, Jim Acosta. Thank you, Tribal Thief. Not Tribal Chief. Not Tribal Queef. Tribal Thief. Thank you. Jim Acosta. Steve Meltzer needs to realize that when you get a scoop, when you get dirt, when you get news, I don't care how many years you're doing it, you need to verify your shit. He obviously didn't verify it with CM Punk. What have I been saying since the Nick Houseman disaster with CM Punk at this media scrum? You never see any of these reporters write in their fucking articles, we reached out to CM Punk for comment and received no reply. We reached out for Kenny Omega for comment. We received no reply. We reached out to Ace Steel. We reached out to the Young Bucks. We reached out and received no reply. You never, ever see that. Dave Meltzer, in January of 2023, had to issue this big apology because he reported a whole bunch of bullshit about Dragon Gate. And it ended up that whoever sent him the information didn't work for Dragon Gate. He said it was a hoaxster, not hoaxster, brother. Hoaxster. He called the person a hoaxster. And the person was, why didn't you contact Nozawa? Why didn't you contact that? There is Google Translate. Oh, I don't speak Japan. Well, you go on Google. Never, when he reported all that shit, he got lied to. I felt bad for Meltzer until when I read it, I never saw it. We reached out to Nozawa for clarification or for comment and received no reply. We reached out to Gato or blah, 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 and received no reply. You know, like whoever it is, you didn't read that. Seth Rollins, 2019, Saudi Arabia, the controversy on the tarmac. And Seth Rollins apparently doing a rah-rah speech to the locker room. Dave Meltzer reported it. It was a lie. Seth Rollins called him out on it. Dave Meltzer issued an apology. You see the pattern where I'm going here? You never, ever, ever, ever read, I reached out to Seth Rollins for verification and received no reply. I reached out to Nozawa for verification, and he no speak English. I reached out to CM Punk for confirmation and received no reply. They don't do it. Because if they do, and the person says, ain't true, ain't true, then you have no story. Oh, Triple H, WWE, still undecided if who's going to win between Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns. Yeah, okay. Okay. Do you see in any of that reporting, we reached out for confirmation and received no reply. So what's happening is this is how the journalism works. Get the story out there. Do not verify it. Because if somebody comes back and says, well, you fucking stupid, that ain't true. Shit, I can't put it out there anymore. If I do, I know it's not true. So they don't ask for verification. Well, Dave Meltzer, and I love the guy's reporting. I'm a supporter. I will remain a supporter. He posted an apology the last couple of days. And it was weird. It was a weird fucking apology. He feels bad for what it caused. He feels bad. Let me read you just a couple of words from it. I did a message board post that I really wish I never did because so much has happened since then in so many destructive ways. You're a fucking reporter. You're going to hold back certain reporting because it might cause myths and rifts in something that you love. You should not be a reporter for that company. And he goes on and on and on, and he says, you know, when I said it, I wasn't writing a news story or anything like that, but what I said, I never said a lot of it had to do with his injury, and it did. In his defense, he was coming back from a broken foot, and it was a serious injury. There's things that could have been done, but the whole point is it's a message board post. And I don't need, that I didn't need to make, didn't mention the fact that the injury was part of it, blah, 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 blah. So he's basically saying that because he wrote it in a message board, it wasn't really news. That motherfucker shits out blood and goes in a message board and says, hey guys, you know, I shit out a little blood today. What do you think it is? It would be front page news everywhere. The guy is not stupid. Guy's been reporting for decades and decades and decades. Anything he says is under a fucking microscope. So when he turns around and then says, you know, I'm just really sad that it happened this way. I want the best for this business, both companies. I'm happy WWE is doing great. And shoot, I really was really happy watching Wednesday and seeing AEW get the good rating and the good rating pattern, which is a really good story. Usually when something like this happens, it means nothing, but when it absolutely, actually negatively affects the business of wrestling, and this could, I don't know, there's so many things I could say about it, but I don't want to say anymore. There are people who live for this and push this stuff. You're a fucking reporter. What is this guy talking about? He says it's not personal. Everything is personal when it comes to AEW with this guy. See, it's almost like when you're pussy whipped. And I hate to use that term. He is pussy whipped. Any of you out there ever been pussy whipped? I was pussy whipped when I was younger. And when I was pussy whipped, I had my friends all say to me, Anthony, you're making a mistake. Anthony, I don't think you see it. Guys, you're just jealous. You're just jealous because I have her and you don't. Anthony, I'm telling you, you're making a big fucking mistake. I made a big mistake. When you're pussy whipped, you don't see it. And the reason why a lot of people don't tell Dave Meltzer is because people want to be part of the cake and ice cream club. And that's just a fact. And then we're now in bizarro land. John Moxley goes on his wife's podcast, and John Moxley says, and I quote, that night, what this dick was talking about? Yeah, he used those words. What this dick was talking about, meaning CM Punk in Minneapolis, he technically didn't work for AEW. He goes on to say that I've never seen so much bullshit drama in any one place in my entire fucking life. I hate to say that. And I don't know if it's because of the age of social media, shit gets blown out of proportion. Like one person types one stupid fucking drunk tweet, and all of a sudden it's everything everybody wants to talk about. Let me be clear. The vast majority of people there in AEW does not cause fucking trouble. But they're getting sucked down into this shit like everybody else, like into the muck. There's plenty of people just want to go get better and perform, do their fucking job, and man, it's the best job in the world. So that's John Moxley on his wife's podcast. He said a lot of other things as well, but I just want to summarize it, and I want to start getting out of here. I'm very tired. So now we get to Britt Baker. Well, it has nothing to do with any of this stuff. Her love of her life is back in the wrestling ring after 9 months, and she gets interviewed by Slam Wrestling, and you have to really be careful of the questions you're asked. They asked her if her views about Thunder Rosa have changed. What a trigger question. And instead of seeing it and saying, oh, you know, they're looking for the dirt. They're looking for the dirt. You know what this Matarazzo says? I feel bad using that term. When I read it to you, think about all the shit. Listen, I know there's a lot of people out there that like Nick Houseman. He's a good guy. He's a good guy that gets caught in a rabbit hole with the Colt Cabana CM Punk story. Google it, you'll see what I'm talking about. And there's a reason why CM Punk snapped at him. Nick Houseman didn't try to hit on his wife, CM Punk's wife. Nick Houseman didn't kick CM Punk's dog. Didn't pull the tail when nobody was looking. The guy asks very confrontational questions and asked Tony Khan many months ago, throwing that, oh, I heard that CM Punk forced Colt Cabana out. I heard. Did you verify it? I reached out to CM Punk for confirmation and received no reply. I reached out for Colt Cabana for comment and received no. That built up with CM Punk for 7 months, and it snowballed. And every person out there looking for dirt and clickbait, look for a reason to get a tweet, a view, a like, a view, a listen, all ran with it. So CM Punk calls on him, and he's the first person. He's like, you know what? Fuck this. And you feel like anything has changed since then? Nothing has changed. Zero. So now Britt Baker is asked by Slam Wrestling, do you still feel the same way about Thunder Rosa? After all of this, and this was said over the weekend, quote, I stand by everything I said because I still have the same questions. You're traveling all over the place for other projects, but you're not coming to work where you are the champion? I have that question. I want to know why. I'm just asking that question because I'm very passionate and protective of AEW. Anyone could call me a bully, but I stand by that, and that question still has not been answered to this day. People like Adam Cole would have killed to be able to come to work, but could not travel. It's not like he was going in and doing a signing or a convention or a seminar. They're not coming to work, but he wasn't able because he couldn't leave the house. I don't know if you know this, but news broke today that Britt Baker's back injury is getting worse. Okay. Guys, how many times do you think Britt Baker has wrestled for AEW since mid-December? 10? 15? How many matches do you think she's had since mid-December? It's almost 4 months. 3.5 months. How many matches? You know, like once every other week, you got house rules. You know, how many matches do you think she's had since mid-December? I don't see her wrestling every week either. I just think that is a dick move to still keep that out there. And what's worse about it is she is comparing Adam Cole's injury to Thunder Rosa's injury. I think Adam Cole, you know, when he sees sunlight and starts throwing up, is much different than someone who can't take back bumps because they got a bad fucking back. And look at that. Now you got a bad back as well. God for fucking bit, your back gets worse. And you wrestle zero times over the next 4 months. Ooh, I hope Thunder Rosa goes on an interview and says, huh, how many times have you wrestled Britt Baker? And I like Britt Baker. She's one of the top talents in AEW. She's got such a bright future, and she's great. Why go there, especially right now? Take the high road. Listen, you know, my husband is back and this and that. You know, look, you know, I don't know why she could, but hey, you know, we got to focus on the now. And she's got to do the Tony Khan thing. When Tony Khan is asked a tough question, Tony Khan will dodge it and say, but you know what? We have a spectacular rampage going on Friday and Dynamite, and we're on this moment. You know, do what Tony Khan does. I know that sounds nuts. That sounds nuts. That's like me telling someone to drive on a highway without your headlights on in the middle of the night. You know, but in this case, take the fucking high road. You know, like you get nothing out of this. Just stupid. Stupid. It's like the inmates are running the asylum, but because it's such good shit on TV that, oh, well, we let it go. No, AEW is not so stupid. It's just a handful of people. It's just, I think what Moxley said there actually does make a lot of sense. Majority of the people out there don't want any trouble, don't want bullshit, don't want drama, but there's a few people. But unfortunately, most of the people, they're the ones with power. That's why I have zero issue with CM Punk doing what he did at the media scrum. Because CM Punk is truly the voice of the voiceless. Because there's a lot of people within AEW that are the victim to politics, and they can't say a fucking word because they have no leverage and no power whatsoever. So when he put that out there, now it's exposed. And now everybody, before that happened, it's all speculation. And a lot of the journalists you can't trust. So until a wrestler with power actually opens his mouth and says that, now you have it straight on, and then you hear about a fight and everything else. Now you got firsthand reporting. Remember, and I'll keep saying it until I stop doing these shows, take note, every journalist that puts out a fucking wild claim out there, you never, ever hear he or she ever say, we reached out to so-and-so for comment and received no reply. And don't give me the, we reached out to WWE Creative. WWE Creative is not a human being. That is a department. We reached out for so-and-so for comment. We're not asking to reveal a source. If you believe that so-and-so is doing so-and-so, or this is happening, ask the person. If you can't ask the person, then don't talk about it. All right. NXT, Stand and Deliver. We got it. On Saturday. Now, even though the WrestleMania recap with Kevin myself will be going down next Tuesday for everyone, I will be online Saturday. You will have programming Saturday and Sunday for yours truly. Saturday, I will be doing a recap and review of NXT Stand and Deliver. I will be live here on YouTube immediately after Stand and Deliver. So we will do a live recap of that event. And then on Sunday, the Q&A that everybody put questions in by last week, it's recorded. I'm going to post it Sunday since that's the only day that we really don't have any content coming up. Obviously, everybody's going to be consuming WrestleMania. But the Q&A, most of the topics discussed aren't going to be outdated when I post it Sunday. It's some pretty good discussion. So Saturday, we're going to do Stand and Deliver recap. Sunday, we'll put the Q&A up. And then Tuesday will be the DTKC show. So your hosts for NXT Stand and Deliver is pretty deadly. And I am so thrilled to see the fan reaction starting to accept these guys. Yes, they are heels. Yes, they are out there at times. But I really am entertained by them, and I feel, you know, if anybody should go to the main roster, it's probably them. Pretty Deadly hosted Stand and Deliver. You know, they're going to have some funny antics. I'm sure they'll probably get assaulted by somebody during the night, but they are your host for Stand and Deliver. Okay, let's do match predictions. We will make these pretty quick because some of the outcomes are predictable, and I think this one is one of the ones without a doubt. You know, we got the women's tag team championships up for grabs. And I tell you, Alba Fire, talk about someone who really benefits having a tag team partner right now. Honestly, it was probably 2, maybe 3 months ago that we were talking about Alba Fire. Like, look, if you actually pay close attention to her, she is not ready. People saying, oh, bring it to the main roster. She, if you really look closely, she just, when she was facing some talents, you could see she's got a lot to go. And she was one of the talents that everybody thought was polished more than anybody else, primed for the main roster. And man, you put her now with the tag team with Isla Dawn, and she is one that benefited dramatically from having a tag team partner. Now, Fallon Henley and Kiana James, you got the storyline with Briggs and Jensen, and even though, you know, the storyline, you know, it's kind of like goofy and everything, you know, your typical, you know, Southern hillbillies falling for, you know, girl and... But it's NXT. It's developmental. It's not supposed to be like, you know, like really polished. You know, the Roxanne Perez stuff, I think the reason why it took a life of its own is because of how well it came across. People truly thought that shit happened. It's pretty wild, especially when you... And that was the weird thing about the Roxanne Perez thing. Like, you would have thought, like, once people realized, oh, she's okay, you think people would be like, phew, thank God. Thank God. Wow, no, they can't be fooled. No! There's something wrong. She's got brain damage. No. She really got... Shut the fuck up. Be happy that she really didn't get hurt. And people acted. It's weird response. But Alba Fire with Isla Dawn, they're on fire. No pun intended right now. They are going to be your next, in my opinion, NXT Women's Tag Team Champions. Excellent. Loved that team. And it was funny because they feuded. And I remember when they feuded early on, I would see little rumblings in the chat saying, oh, I think they would be a good tag team. And yeah, you see them together and like, wow, they really, really did a great job, man. Did a great job. So I think they're going to win the tag team championships. They are your next women's tag team champions. All right, next we have Gallus against the Creed Brothers versus Tony D'Angelo and Stax. And I should talk, man. I just got a haircut. My hair is kind of short right now. But what the fuck did Tony D'Angelo do to his hair? He looks like a pumpkin. Look at his head. Seriously, I love Tony D'Angelo. Tony D to Don. You know, I'm the original Don, but hey, you know, Tony D's the man. But what the fuck did you do to your hair? That's not Jersey Shore. He looks like a pumpkin. I maybe it's just a bad Photoshop, but doesn't matter. Gallus is going to retain. The Creed Brothers, I think, are going to the main roster. They may not go to the main roster in a week, but the Creed Brothers, they have done so much in NXT in such a short amount of time, and the feud with Indy Shear, it really, I don't think it hit the way people thought it was going to hit. So I'm going with Gallus to retain, and I think we may ultimately see the Creed Brothers go to the main roster. As far as Stax and Tony D'Angelo, listen, remember something. Tony D'Angelo had no wrestling history to be found before coming to WWE. He is just starting. The guy, take your time. We don't know what his character would ultimately be if he ever goes to the main roster, but there is no rush. The problem they have right now is the lack of storyline and opponents. I mean, you look at Tony D'Angelo, if you play word association, most people will either say my name, not trying to be cocky, or they'll say Santos Escobar. Legado versus the Family was probably one of the highlights in 2022. Since then, they're like stuck in the mud. And that's been like that for a little while. Stax has gotten better. Stax has gotten better because there were some points that a lot of people thought Stax was going to be a goner. And that's still not out of the question, but I think he will survive the next round of cuts that will be happening soon. So, all right, let's go to the next match. We got the five-way. On NXT, Axiom got the final spot. They had a battle royal to determine who was going to get the final spot, which I thought was kind of stupid because Wesley was able to choose his opponents. So, you know, like, he chose, like, three of the four, and then, oh, let's just have everybody back. I wanted to see Dijak in there. I thought after Dijak and Wesley having a banger, that you would have thought if Wesley was going to show a little respect. I mean, look, he put JD McDonagh in the match. I don't think JD McDonagh is like, oh, thank you, Wesley. Oh, you're very, very cool. Let me buy you breakfast. You know, JD McDonagh is going to want to knock his head off. I would have loved to have seen Dijak been in that spot. They gave it to Axiom. Now you know this is going to be a wild, wild, crazy-ass clusterfuck. And I say that with love. I think in the end, man, I think Wesley is going to retain. As much as people think Dragon Lee is going to really make a statement in NXT, I think it's a little too soon. Don't get me wrong. Ilya, I want to see in the main roster. I want to see Ilya replace Giovanni Vinci. Nothing against Giovanni Vinci, but he's an Italian. You know, and Imperium, I think Ilya Dragunov in Imperium is better than Giovanni Vinci. And JD McDonagh is great as well. JD McDonagh is, reminds me of like Finn Balor. If Finn Balor fucked Chris Benoit, I'd feel like that's, you get JD McDonagh. Seriously. I'm going to go with Wesley to retain. And I'm probably wrong, but I'm going to go with Wesley to retain. But this match is going to be off the charts. No question it's going to be off the charts. I mean, every person in this match definitely, you know, I don't think there's any bad choice in this match. Anybody you could pick to win it, and I don't think it's really a bad choice, but I'm going to go Wesley to retain. Somebody's got to retain. I mean, if you really think about it, somebody has to retain. Now we got Chase University versus the Schism. And yeah, because Chase University is missing a person, they had to put Tyler Bate in this match. And whoever wins takes ownership of Chase University. You know, man, like this storyline is kind of stupid. It's almost as bad as Kiana James. Oh, I'm going to own the bar. You know, it's like, but it's NXT. It's a little wacky. I think Chase University is one of the highlights for the live fans that are there. So I really would love to see Chase University win this one. But if they win this one, the only person I could see getting the pin is Tyler Bate. Andre Chase, as much as, you know, I think he's doing good, I'm just not feeling it totally yet. The Schism, remember, with two of those guys that are grizzled young veterans. Sure, we could possibly see Ava Rain, you know, get the pin, but I think that would be a little bit too soon. I think it would be a little unfair because the people would be like, oh, she won it because she's The Rock's daughter. I could see the Schism winning. And no, they don't run Chase University. They close it down. They close it down. And, you know, remember something too. Chase University is only three participants. It's only three participants. So, you know, if we're going to have, you know, a bunch of releases, I'm not saying that anybody in Chase University is going to be released. But if you do have one release from that group, what are you going to have, Chase University with two people? You know, so I think we could get the Schism winning it, and they say they're going to close Chase University. We don't want it. We're going to close that shit down, which would suck because the live fans there have a... Listen, I went to NXT on my honeymoon. I was there for half the show. I was there the night the Solo Sikoa won the North American Championship. That was cool. But you know, when you go in there, you see this group of people with the Chase shirts, the sweaters, and I don't care if they're plants or not. They give the vibe for the whole entire building, and that building has fun. That building is a really fun environment in there. It's not ECW fun. you know, back in those days. This is more of just like people hanging out in Florida having fun. You know, not rowdy, not rude, not angry, just like goofy fun. Just goofy fun. But I think the Schism are going to take it and close Chase University. I really do. You got to add more members if you're going to keep it around. All right. That should leave us with three matches. I think this is no-brainer. Johnny Gargano versus Grayson Waller. Grayson Waller has eaten a lot of losses in his NXT career, especially in 2022, and yet he hasn't lost any momentum whatsoever. This was a predictable match. Again, it's a shame when you look back on it that for those 2 weeks leading into it, you know, you look at logic. Everybody likes to use the term long-term booking when it comes to AEW stuff. This was a storyline that was the strongest, that if it was even on WWE's level, the main roster level, it would have been strong. Johnny Gargano leaves NXT to go have a kid, and Grayson Waller beats the shit out of him on the way out. So when Grayson Waller starts trolling Shawn Michaels is too old to wrestle. Shawn Michaels is no position or condition to wrestle. And yet everybody's clickbaiting that Shawn Michaels is returning to the ring instead of just going with logic and fun and like, oh shit, Johnny Gargano should return. He returns. He gets his revenge on Grayson Waller for what he did to him on the way out. He left him laying. Johnny Gargano crying, hugging Shawn Michaels, his wife right by his side, and then Grayson Waller shows up and lays him out. So this was one of the most predictable yet fun storylines leading into Stand and Deliver. And I personally think Johnny Gargano is going to beat the shit out of Grayson Waller and beat him. It's an unsanctioned match. So we will get some out of the ordinary circumstances that will lead. It's not going to be clean pin. It's going to be a wild brawl. And I think Johnny Gargano has to come out on top. He's got to go out on top. He will win, Johnny Gargano at Stand and Deliver. And Grayson Waller will lose no momentum. I'm telling you. I know, listen, I'm not saying I told you so, but a long time ago, I talked about Austin Theory and how big that guy's future was going to be. When he lost that briefcase that night, everybody was calling it one of the dumbest, stupidest booking decisions and horribly handled. I thought it was the greatest thing that happened to Austin Theory. That night on the recap, I said that's the best thing that happened to him. Get rid of his fucking briefcase. Just let him do his thing. Grayson Waller is going to be the next young guy coming out of NXT that is really going to take control. And I know what a lot of you are saying, Bron Breakker. I don't put Bron Breakker in that category. Bron Breakker is the son of Rick Steiner. Bron Breakker has been heavyweight champion for a very long time. A lot of people feel that Bron Breakker has been main roster ready for a while now. So Bron Breakker goes to that main roster and gets into it deep with a lot of people. Yeah, absolutely. Austin Theory was not in that position when he went to the main roster. Grayson Waller will not be in that position either. Grayson Waller is going to take it by the balls. And then you give a couple, look, in the beginning, he'll probably get his ass handed to him. He probably will be embarrassed a little bit. But there's going to get to a point that within no time, people will be like, holy shit, you know, this came out of nowhere. Holy shit, look at Austin Theory from even 6 months ago to now. And it's like, holy shit, seriously. So Grayson Waller, even in defeat, he loses nothing. He loses nothing this weekend. All right, we have the women's match. And I tell you, up until the Roxanne Perez return, we had Taya Valkyria, we had Gigi Dolin, Tiffany Stratton. My God, everybody and their mother thinks Tiffany Stratton is the heir apparent for the women's championship. And I totally understand why people feel that way. Zoe Stark, I think, is ready for the main roster. Zoe Stark kind of gives me Natalya vibes, and she is a tough son of a bitch. I could see her going to the main roster and being like Natalya meets China. And Indy Hartwell, we all like Indy Hartwell. We root for Indy Hartwell. We feel bad that Candice LeRae is on the main roster and Johnny Gargano is on the main roster and Austin Theory is on the main roster and Dexter Lumis is on the main roster. And she's not. Unfortunately, though, she goes to the main roster, and I've said this 1,000 times. And then what? And then what? Who's she going to beat? Xia Li? She's going to beat Dana Brooke? How is Indy Hartwell going to leapfrog that many women on the main roster right now? As much as I would love to see her go to the main roster, I fear, and I don't want to see the Dexter Lumis stuff reignited. I loved it, but you do it again for main roster purposes, it's going to get old very, very quickly. And then what? Then she starts getting squashed like a grape. So I think her getting in this match is a good thing. I was truly going to predict Tiffany Stratton to win it because what she has done in the last 12 months is amazing. Because 12 months ago, she looked like a Barbie doll that some people think had a little bit too much lip treatment done. And, you know, just the daddy's little girl, you know, rich bitch stuff. And she got bit by the wrestling bug and she started putting it together. And if you go back to my recaps over the last 12 months, after a couple of months, hey, Tiffany Stratton, I don't know, she seems like she's starting to put it together. I don't know, she's really starting to. And now you see her in the ring and you're like, holy shit. Like, I feel bad when you talk about rookies of the year. Everybody focused on Hook. And I'm not trying to compare Hook to Tiffany Stratton, but if you watch a Hook match, it's literally like 2-3 moves, no sell most of the time, and, you know, choked out, end. You know, like, he doesn't go 10 minutes or 7 minutes with people. And I'm not saying that Tiffany Stratton should have been rookie of the year. I'm not saying that at all. But I think she should have been in serious discussion by a lot of people out there. And a lot of people didn't even mention her name because they don't pay attention to NXT. Tell you, keep Tiffany Stratton on your radar. But I personally think Roxanne Perez wins this. Now, the funny thing is, if they never did the storyline with Roxanne Perez, they could have put the title at the top, and she's no longer, well, she's still champion, but the title's up there. Now everybody has an equal shot of getting it. Just got to climb the ladder. She's got to give the title to the referee who puts it suspended in the air. She still has the championship. Look at the fucking banner. Look at the banner. That's not photoshopped. She's holding the championship. She's still the champion. We did this tremendous scenic route. It was Shawn Michaels, 1995-6, whatever period that was. And I'm not complaining, but it's pretty wild, again, to see people online that when you tell them she's okay, doesn't have brain damage, she's not going to turn into a vegetable, she's not going to turn into a platanos, she's okay, this is just really good story. Roxanne Perez would never do that. She would never swerve the fans. Like, it's fucking entertainment, dummies. She would no. Like, people refused. You'd think she'd be happy. You'd think people would be happy. Oh, thank God. Thank God she's not hurt. Thank God she's not injured. But instead, no. She's hurt. No, she's not hurt. And she didn't. Look, she lost the championship. She had to give it up. Puppy eyes. Which do you cry more, when she gave the championship up or this? In 6 weeks, that's going to close out All Access. And then Tony's going to go to the WarnerMedia executives. Look, we could do 6 more like this. Roxanne Perez relinquishing that title. It basically, and for people that are asking me right now, why did they do this storyline? I'll give you the answer. And it's staring at you right in the face. Because other than Cora Jade, Roxanne Perez has nobody to feud with. She's had no feuds. Don't give me Zoe Stark. Don't give me Maiko Satomura. She has had no deep rivalry. Oh, she defended against Gigi Dolan and JC Jane. Fans did not like that. They did not want Toxic Attraction to split. The problem is Roxanne Perez had no feud leading into Stand and Deliver. What could we put her up against? Oh, well, maybe we could do a ladder match. Or maybe we could do this and that. Okay, but what do we do for 2 months? And they had nothing, or 6 weeks, whatever it is. They had nothing. No feud whatsoever. So to put, and listen, you can't simply for 6 weeks just have Roxanne Perez. This is not the North American Championship. This is the Women's Heavyweight Championship, the title that Mandy Rose held for a very, very long time. And you could have Roxanne Perez after the match against Toxic Attraction in a three-way. She's going to coast into Stand and Deliver with no feud, no storyline, no nothing. So they're like, okay, how do we spice this up a little bit? Oh, let's, you know, I remember back in the 90s, why don't we do this? You know, we could have her collapse in the ring and, you know, people are really concerned for her and, you know, we're forced to take the title off her, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, she, and then like a week before Stand and Deliver, look, I'm cleared. Here's my doctor's note. Here's my doctor's note. And Shawn Michaels is looking at her like, all right, you're in the match. All right, you're in the match. You know, it's like, come on. And I'm not criticizing Roxanne Perez. It's not a fault. What happens after Stand and Deliver? So now I think Roxanne Perez has to retain. Because imagine this whole storyline that just went down. And after all of that, she's got the championship in her grasps. She's got the championship in her grasps. And then what do they do? She loses it a couple of days later. She just got the championship back yesterday, and she loses it in a couple of days. So I'm going to go with Roxanne Perez to retain. I'm going to go with her to retain. I would have chosen Tiffany Stratton, but I'm going with her to retain. So that leaves us the main event. Carmelo Hayes taking on Bron Breakker for the NXT Championship. To me, this is the most predictable outcome of the night. Bron Breakker has had a great run in NXT. Solid run. But there's no doubt over the last 4 months, it's really gotten stuck in the mud. When we talk about quarter hours for NXT, his quarter hours sucked. Most times they sucked. Bron Breakker getting heat from the local NXT audience, I've said it 1,000 times. Not that they don't like him. It's not they don't appreciate him as champion. They're just bored. They're bored. He had some great matches. He has developed. You look back even a year ago, feuding with Dolph Ziggler. He has really put it all together. But now fans feel Carmelo Hayes is the guy. He is the guy. And I say this multiple times over the last 6 months. Can you imagine a year or two from now on that main roster where Carmelo Hayes could be? That, and Trick Williams, again, do not discount Trick Williams. That guy really, he's got something. I'm telling you, he's like the opposite of the Street Profits. And there's something about him. It's almost like the reverse Montez Ford. There's something about Trick Williams that I really, really appreciate. But you're seeing it's part of the future of WWE right before your eyes. And right now, NXT fans want Carmelo Hayes to have that reign. And then Bron Breakker goes to the main roster. Carmelo Hayes is going to win this match. After the match is over, Bron Breakker is going to get up. I think during the match, the fans are going to be split. I think there's going to be more buzz and cheers for Carmelo Hayes than you realize. I think it sometimes during the match, Bron Breakker might even be booed. And I think Bron will probably troll with the fans. Well, I'm not saying he's going to be heel or he's going to get that much heat, but there's going to be times during the match it's going to feel a little bizarre. But it's only because the fans want a change. When that match is over, Bron Breakker gets to his feet. You're going to see almost everybody in that building stand up, give him a standing ovation. He's going to look at all around the building. You're going to see him a little bit choked up. And that's going to be the moment you're going to realize that motherfucker is debuting on the main roster. Maybe WWE postpones it for a week or two. Maybe it doesn't happen immediately, but that guy's main roster. It's time. It's time. What you got to start thinking about right now is who is going to feud with Carmelo Hayes next? Who is the person? That's something you got to start thinking about. And there's some names. There's some names, but right now, this is the match that we have to focus on. And I think Carmelo Hayes is your next NXT champion. And this card from top to bottom, is it one of the most solid cards that WWE's put out? No. No. Honestly, of this card, there's probably three matches that I'm really looking forward to. The main event, Braun versus Carmelo Hayes, Gargano versus Grayson Waller, the NXT North American Championship, and to a certain extent, the Women's Championship. But again, I think it's pretty obvious Roxanne Perez has to keep it. So kind of put a little bit of the air out of the balloon. But, you know, it's going to be a good event. And like I said, I will be here on Saturday right after the event. Well, no, that's your predictions. No, here it is. Your recap. See, I was lazy, everyone. See what I did? See what I did? I just changed the title. I'm not great at doing thumbnails yet, but I thought this one was okay. I did it over here too. Look, we're doing match card predictions, and look at that. You know, I kept the same, pretty much the same banner. So, all right. So, with that said, I'm going to jet out of here. NXT yesterday did 620,000 viewers. That is up from last week's 550. I'm glad going into Stand and Deliver, they had a nice little boost in the ratings. Last night, it was more about the final two spots that were needed for the women's ladder match and the North American five-way match. Tyler Bate over Von Wagner yesterday. Von Wagner, I think, is main roster bound as well. I wonder if we're going to get a group. Anyone out there think we might get a group of people debut on the main roster, like together? Anybody think that? I think it would be interesting to see like three or four debuts all separate. I don't know if that would happen. I don't see Braun as part of a group, but I wonder if we're going to get a couple of people debut as a group. So, all right, before I get out of here, I have one super shout out, and it has to do with NXT because we want to keep everything together. Gary with the five spot, he would love to see Gigi Dolin as the next NXT Women's Champion, but he thinks Tiffany Stratton will win. Love you, Vids. God bless. Take care. Thank you. I'm telling you, I have said this a few times already. Gigi Dolin is the 2023 version of Paige. No, they have two totally different personalities. Paige had that young goth, you know, look about her that everybody just really, I mean, listen, when I do shows and you see like someone in real time, especially someone like Paige early in her career, you see the vibe and the response you get from people out there. And some is a little bit, you know, on the perversion side, but hey, you got it, you flaunt it. But Gigi Dolin has that same exotic, you know, and I'm not saying Paige looked exotic, but there was something different about Paige that people really gravitated to. Same thing for Gigi Dolin. You know, a lot of people try to say Gigi Dolin and JC Jane, who's the Shawn Michaels, who's the Marty Jannetty? And I think the reason why people say that is because of the way JC Jane turned on Gigi Dolin. I think if we put up a poll, would you want Toxic Attraction to reunite? Or we have to be a little more specific. Would you want Gigi Dolin and JC Jane to reunite as a tag team, or do you want to keep them separate? I personally think 80-90% of people out there would want to see them back together. I mean, that goes to show you how much WWE thinks Gigi Dolin has as far as value. I think WWE sees big-time money in Gigi Dolin. Seriously. I see it too. And JC Jane, I really like her character. I still think she would have been perfect in Tony D'Angelo's group. She's got that cousinette, you know, that Jersey Shore look to her, that you put one of those like Italian bonnets on her or something like that, You do up her makeup a certain way. Kind of like Marissa Tomei from My Cousin Vinny, just, you know, dressed in 2023 garb. I think she would nail it, but they didn't go that route. Gigi Dolan is going to be a star. So the problem is, how do you get it to the next level? And main roster, I think the ticket to the main roster for Gigi Dolan was his one half of Toxic Attraction. I don't know if they'll ever reform as a team, but I personally think WWE may have made a mistake. As of right now, I think it was a mistake because there's no denying it. We used to talk about it with ratings. Toxic Attraction actually drew. They actually, people, when I did watch parties, when they would come out, everybody would pay a little extra attention. You know, I just think that they made a mistake. They have yet to show us why Gigi Dolan should be a single star. I mean, she's had a little bit, and I want to see how far she goes in this ladder match. But I personally think Gigi Dolan and JC Jane should have stood together. I mean, look, it's obvious. WWE had no opponent for Roxanne Perez. Again, it goes back to what I said before. She had no feud. Cora Jade. Is she going to be the one that was attacking people in the parking lot? I think Cora Jade. What happens with her? Some people think Cora Jade is main roster bound. I got news for you. If Cora Jade, I think Cora Jade and Bron Breakker are still an item. I think even more of a reason, I think you might actually see Cora Jade and Bron Breakker go to the main roster at the same time. Not on camera as a couple, but I think Cora Jade may be main roster. I think Cora Jade might be the first woman to go to that main roster from NXT. You know, a lot of people are saying about other names. I think Cora Jade may be the first one. So, all right, everybody, I'm going to jet out of here. I got to be honest with you, and I'm not saying this to be cocky. I don't know. I think, like, tonight's episode was a little bit extra fun. You know, I don't know if I kind of got a little bit invigorated. Dynamite was okay tonight. Nothing to write home about other than Adam Cole and Bryan Danielson stuff. But you know, I have fun. You know, I kind of feel like I've, like, unleashed a little bit, like, not holding back anymore. But I hope everyone has a great weekend. Enjoy NXT Stand and Deliver. Enjoy Ring of Honor. Enjoy WrestleMania. Once again, I will be here Saturday afternoon, right after Stand and Deliver, for your Stand and Deliver recap. I will be here Monday night, the Raw after WrestleMania. You bet your sweet ass that I will be here live as well. But Tuesday, if you're part of our Patreon family, you could witness it live. Kevin and I will be live at 10 p.m. doing the WrestleMania 39 recap, and we will also talk about the Raw after WrestleMania, and we will speculate what will happen on Friday's SmackDown. It's going to be really interesting, because some of our predictions for WrestleMania are quite opposite, extremely opposite. But so one of us is going to have some bragging rights. So as soon as Tuesday's stream is done, it'll be online for everybody. So you will get to enjoy it. I would say between midnight and 1 a.m. Tuesday night, it'll be online for everyone. We will do a full-blown recap. And then I will be on vacation. I will be on vacation from next Friday until Monday. But I am supposed to be back in New York by around 7 p.m. Monday night. So I should be able to cover, you know, Raw. So, but I will be away for 4 or 5 days. Need to recharge, relax, and kick back a little bit. So, guys, it's been fun. Post your comments, your feedback, your excitement. You know, whether it's AEW, WWE, DTKC, you know, ETE. It's going to be a fun week, man. Just get some rest. Because, you know, Friday, SmackDown, Hall of Fame, Ring of Honor, Saturday, you got other events going on as well as some events we didn't even talk about. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun next couple of days. So hope everybody enjoys it. Much love. And, yeah, Don Tony out of here. Have a good one, everybody. Be well.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.